Episode 3618 of the Survival Podcast. I'm bringing Josh Hale back on. We had Josh on to talk about AI about a month ago, specifically using AI for entrepreneurship and in your business, which is something I do all the time. I've been talking about doing that for a long time. But we're going to talk today probably about some more things like that that'll come into the conversation. There's some things going on in AI I want Josh's opinion on, like DeepSeek, which I basically, my opinion of it is don't use it until the code bros completely tear apart the open source code that has been published, because that hasn't had enough time to really been pulled apart yet. And you don't know what it does, but I think it might be an interesting topic. But mostly we're going to talk today about how you can use AI in your daily life for like productivity or maybe things that are business related, but not entrepreneur business related, like, you know, if you were studying for certification for a particular exam, it can be very useful things for like that. I've talked about using it repeatedly for educational purposes, both for self-directed learning, but as a homeschool grandfather, we use AI all the time with our kids. And I know some of you really don't like AI, and it's a demon, and it's living in your computer, and it's going to take over the world like Starlink or some shit. This is something that's it's not going away. It's only going to become more and more prominent in your life, and I look at it like a gun. My enemy has a gun, so I want an equal or better gun, and I want to know how all the guns work, and I want to have a Pew delivery device that is just effective as that of my enemy. I want to understand the technology. I want to be able to use it myself. So, yes, can you do bad shit with AI? Yes. Will people do bad shit with AI? Yes. Can you say that about a gun? Yes. Can you say that about a lot of other tools that we use all the time, like a knife or a big-ass sword or something like that? Yes, you can. So we're going to talk about AI today and how to use it for yourself for the powers of good at your own direction. Before we do that, let's go ahead and hear from our sponsors of the day. Sponsor of the day number one today is, which one? It is Above Phone. Above Phone will let you take back your tech from the giant technocracy that is wireless carriers, that is app manufacturers, and is wireless device makers like Android and like iOS, etc., because they're spying on you. They're collecting your data. They're storing your data. They're giving your data over to the government, and they're selling your data to literally anybody that wants to buy it. You can make that all go away with Above Phone. But Jack, I can't figure it out. I'm not technical like you. Hey, you want to make my web dude Tom laugh? Tell him I'm highly technical and watch him laugh his ass off. Seriously, it's not hard. If you can use a phone, you can use an Above Phone. There is a little bit of a learning curve in moving over, but they will give you a one-hour free consultation when you buy your new Above Phone. And they're a hell of a supporter of the show because you get $75 off any phone at AboveFone.com. Next up today is Start 9 Sovereign Computing. Let's complete the other side of the arc there. With Start 9, you can run your own server. You can run your own Bitcoin node. You can run your own Lightning node, so you can act as your own bank and your own payment processor. That's pretty cool. You can also do things like run totally encrypted end-to-end messaging, that the only people that can actually receive and send messages are people that you invite in to even find the thing. You can find all your files anywhere in the world across Tor, so that your files are actually yours. That's your data. That's your images. That's everything. You can get off the concept of the cloud, because you want to tell you something about the cloud? There isn't a cloud. There's no cloud. Remember Kamala? The cloud's up there somewhere. No. That's not how that shit works. All that means is your data is on somebody else's computer that somebody else controls. Well, we're back to, you know, people selling your data, locking you out of your data, you know, spying on you, all that stuff. How about we make that all go the way with a very simple device, plug and play, really easy to install. And again, I know what you're thinking. Jack, I'm not technical. You don't have to be. Can you use a smartphone? Can you install apps? If the answer to both of those questions are yes, you can run a Start 9 server. Again, a little bit of a learning curve, but they have great support. They'll help you out. Check them out today at start9.com. And 9% off everything at Start 9. Well, all the servers at Start 9, I don't think they'll give it to you off a T-shirt, for instance. But all of the devices at Start 9 are 9% off if you're a member of the MSB. With that, I'm really excited to bring Josh back on. I've actually been looking forward to this since the last episode, and I'm like, yeah, get another guest app in. And he did. So let's bring him on now. Josh, welcome back to the Survival Podcast. You're muted again, Josh.
Thanks again for having me on. There has been so much that's happened since last time I was here, which was only like a month ago. So yeah. I'm excited to dig in.
Yeah, let's start off, though, because I do, like, maybe we'll push, like, some of the current events toward the end of the show. I want to start off with, because what we got last time was a lot of great feedback, but a lot of people going, yeah, I don't run a business. I don't care about marketing funnels. I'm not a copywriter. You know, we were pointing out there's a lot of things that AI can do to enhance things like time management and things that overwhelm your personal life. Can you talk about maybe just some concrete things that people can use AI for in their daily, everyday life?
Absolutely. Well, as you guys already know, I'm obsessed with this stuff. I think it's a fantastic tool, just like what you said with the gun. Like, it's important that we understand these things. We don't demonize them. And we're about to see AI in everything. It's already happening. It's, so far, it's been like dumb AI, and it's about to get really smart, especially with what just happened this last week. So I mentioned this in the last show. People are going to be faced with dumbed down versions of AI built into apps. Just like if you go to Meta or Facebook or Instagram right now, you can interact with their AI. And it is AI, but it's going to be a very simplified form. You can't do a whole lot with it. It's going to be suggesting prompts for you to do simple stuff according to that ecosystem. And you really need to understand like how this AI works, how it likes to be talked to, what are instructions in order to really be able to use these things in the full capability. Because there's going to be two types of people, those that are using the dumbed down version and those that know how to use this stuff. And I've basically found in every area of my life, it huge benefits to being able to play this stuff. I'll give you one example. I was washing dishes in my house, minding my own business. My wife comes in and just says that thing, right? That just hits my button. And I don't all of a sudden feel appreciated for doing the dishes every day. You know, my brain just starts spiraling and I get a spicy reply back. She says something spicy back. Total misunderstanding. But then, you know, you get caught up in these things. I stormed off and I went and pulled out ChatGPT and I said, act like a nonviolent communication coach. That's the methodology of communication that I really like. Okay. And so I then just told it the situation. I was dropping F-bombs. I was just pissed, right, in the moment.
And getting out of this shit with my wife, basically.
Yes, it was so stupid over dishes, right? And it then was able to give me an unbiased reflection of what my situation was. I felt clear and a better sense of understanding. It then helped me reflect upon my feelings using the nonviolent communication framework. And so I was able to like get my feet back on the ground. Then it said, would you like to give me, you know, what to say back to your wife to start heading in a better direction? And it gave me like my starting sentences. And I was like, okay. And then went back in, you know, launch pad off of that starting sentence. And then was able to have a much more rational understanding and like unwind the tangle that just happened.
Gotcha. And I'm gonna put a comment I just made up here, but I bet its advice was not tell her to calm down.
No, because that doesn't work. I've tried that.
Bad idea.
Yeah. So that's just a real quick example, right? I feel comfortable with kind of sharing a lot of personal stuff with ChatGPT. We can talk about that in a bit, but in just about every applicable situation, I'm like testing it out and figuring out like, whoa, this has really good applications. And then luckily, you know, my wife, she's a bit of a Luddite. She doesn't rush into technology. And so she helps balance this stuff in my life. I recognize that I don't need to fill every moment in my life with social media, with tech, with like input that we're constantly bombarded by. So I'm balancing this out in my own life of like, when is it appropriate? When is it not appropriate? When should I be trying to use my rational, you know, critical thinking before just jumping to AI? 2 weeks ago, we did a rest day for my family and it involved, my daughter actually brought it up to us. 24 hours, no tech, no work, no, nothing but like play with the family. And so sundown Saturday, we, you know, watched the sun go down. We put all the tech away and had a like wonderful evening playing games. Woke up the next morning and some cool things I figured that that I figured out. Despite how addictive these apps, these games, these the phone is in our life, that and the news, that stuff goes away actually really quick. Once you like block out the noise, you're able to actually revert back into our more natural states and being able to like get into a more joyful way of life. So Sunday morning, right, we went 12 hours without tech. I was like fully present with my kid. She stopped yelling at me, "Daddy, daddy, daddy, can I have your attention?" all day long because I'm always constantly doing stuff. We got to just hang out and like all get on the same wavelength. It was amazing. But from there, I was jokingly, you know, going through my day and didn't have AI for the first time in, you know, 2 years to like try things out and jump right to getting answers. And so it was a good barometer to see like where I'm at and how to appropriately use these things and allow there to be natural space for our cognitive thinking.
Do you think people maybe need to be aware of something you just said there? And that is you couldn't get an instant answer. And I believe that all biological and psychological processes work like muscles. We use them a lot. They get stronger. We atrophy them by not using them. They get weaker. And one thing you won't get right now is mental atrophy using ChatGPT or any of these tools because they get enough wrong and frustrate you enough that you have to figure out how to make them right. They are going to get smarter. And we are going to get into a point where you'll be able to trust maybe 98% of what comes out of them, which means the 2% is actually a lot more dangerous because right now when it's wrong, you're like, no way, bitch. And you know it's wrong, right? Like, you know, if you don't know and you start accepting, do you think that maybe people need to like plan in breaks so that they have to not rely on that tool? Remember our teachers used to say you won't have a calculator everywhere you go. And you're like, wrong, bitch. But like, I tell my grandkids all the time, I'm not going to lie to you like my teacher did to me, but basic mathematics you need to be able to do in your head.
Yeah. And we decided we're going to be doing that rest day every month. And my daughter wanted it every week because of all the attention she got. But, you know, we're going to start off slow. But after experiencing 24 hours without tech and being like, okay, I feel a little human again, ready for the week. I have a business. My wife runs a business. So we are, you know, we're always on. We're always working. So being able to intentionally carve out space, I think, is crucial because of how AI is now inserting itself. We can have immediate answers. We can have, you know, lots of inspiration coming, working with this stuff. But I think it's just a new responsibility, this like digital well-being of us, you know, putting our own limitations, these own bottlenecks into our lives so that we are not able to easily reach for our phone and get an answer. We're able to like, you know, if I use an example, you're like, oh, what was grandma's, you know, brownie recipe? And then if your phone is across the room, you'll like start walking over there and be like, oh, I think I remember it. Right. Yeah. So if you install bottlenecks and space into your life, it gives your brain the ability to like be used and not reach for those immediate answers.
I think we should start using AI a little bit like personal assistants. And one of the few and very few things that I miss about my corporate life was I had a personal assistant named Allison. And I could say, like, Allison, I don't want anybody fucking talking to me today. I want to be left alone. And no matter, a person could have been like, we have a new leg for Jack. And he should have been like, he already has two. He doesn't need a new leg. Like, there's no way they're going to get back. Or it'd be like, Allison, like, I will let people in if they have something you really believe that I would want to hear about. Otherwise, leave me alone today. Or Allison, I'm going to Vegas next month on these dates. I need a car. I need a hotel. I want it. And just walk away. And I don't think the average person needs that level of a PA. But there is a lot of value in having certain things that can use, like, the way we teach automation is through one of my friend David's phrases, what would you do if you didn't have to do it? Right? Why should you automate all the things on your property? Because then it'll all get done and you don't have to do it anymore. And then you would do everything that needs done because you don't have to do it anymore. So is there a way that maybe people can start maybe roping this thing in more like a personal assistant in their life?
It's a great way to look at it. A hyper-intelligent personal assistant, A, that doesn't know it, like how to do things immediately, but they're super smart at figuring stuff out. So being able to train them and like have clear expectations that like you can build this relationship, get better and more efficient at things. They can take on more responsibility. That's like the correct way to think about AI. And just last week, OpenAI, ChatGPT, they just released Operator. I don't know if you caught this. Operator is basically a built-in web window that you can tell it, hey, I want to make dinner reservations at the local restaurant this weekend.
Okay.
And it will pop the window open, move the mouse, open up the search up the restaurant, click the button, and it's super slow right now.
Yeah.
And you can take control over it at any time, but it is learning to go through all the motions and then basically make the booking and then take you to, if there's a payment that you have to prepay or anything like that, it will like stop there and allow you to punch in your personal information. So these things are called agents or agency, and they're now rolling out. Like it just went public.
Gotcha. One of the really cool things I saw with ChatGPT recently, like when you're working on a piece of writing and you give it an assignment to like write something in your voice and style, all the things we talked about last time, is now you can pull that up and make edits in it before taking it down and have it go back over, like to make sure, like I might have fixed something I didn't like, but I also might have fucked something up. But the other thing you can say is basically like take note of the things I changed. And then use this in the future when I ask you to write, because like one of the things I hate in any kind of sales copy is terms like everybody is using it. This is all you'll ever need. Anything that's in a, because it's very common in sales language to go over the top. I fucking hate saying anything in my name that isn't absolutely true. And, you know, the saying from Star Wars is only the Sith still in absolutes. I think there are a few absolutes in the world, but not many. And when you're talking about a product or a service, no, not everybody needs this, you know, and I thought it was really cool that you could actually begin training it better for your own needs.
Yeah. Can I show the audience what we're talking about here?
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead and bring it. And then I'll drop it in the screen once you get it pulled up. You don't have it.
What he's talking about is a feature on ChatGPT called Canvas. And
yep.
If it's right now, it's for the paying accounts, so it's a $20 a month level. But you give it what you want it to work on, and it will pop open the second window like you just saw and bring it all in. So I just grabbed some stuff off my website to use as an example. But if you do any writing, blog writing, any type of form of written communication, this thing is such a time saver because of its capabilities. So over here on the left-hand side, you'll see like the normal chat window. And before you'd ask it something, it would respond. And then you'd be like, okay, change that second paragraph to be, shorter or about this. And so it would then re-prompt the whole thing and spit out a whole new blog post, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now the second window opens up and you're able to come in here and edit it directly. So you're able to actually highlight sections and then talk just to that section to make changes just for that while keeping everything else the same. And it got done importing it. And then handy dandy is a toolbox over here where you can just click this and it will suggest edits to your document or to your writing. And then you can review it and be like, no. And it will automatically change those things, adjusting the length, which is like huge, right? And
yeah.
2 years, a year ago, ChatGPT had a really hard time because it's a conversational AI. You couldn't tell it. It wasn't very good with math. And so you couldn't say like, shorten this by 20%. It really had a hard time trying to comprehend that. So now you can make the whole thing longer. You can make a paragraph longer or shorter. So that is a huge time saver. Reading level as well. You can bump it up to college, graduate level writing, or bring it all the way down to kindergarten, where most reading levels are in America. And then this one I use a lot, add the final polish. So usually I'll be, putting together copywriting, using multiple tools, and then I'll bring it in here for its final final polish. Click that, and it will then go through and H1, H2, H3 everything and make it look like really easy to digest, very readable. and ready to go. And you can basically copy and paste this. Now, I think I heard this in one of your other podcasts, Jack. If you go and click this copy right here, it's not going to keep the formatting. And so if you go to a document, it's going to show you the markdown and the pound signs. Super annoying. So I always, I always just grab directly from the window.
Actually highlight it. Yeah, I do.
Highlight it and then copy and paste from there, and it will keep the formatting for you that way.
Or at least close enough that it's only a few little tweaks you have to make. I recently was preparing a document for a friend to look at, and I wanted it just to be spit out in a PDF. And I spent 25 minutes trying to get it to do it, and then I just fucking did it myself. Like, there is certain things it just doesn't want to do right yet. Like, convert this to a PDF, and then let me download it. Yeah, it was all that hyper markup shit, or it took, like, a document that was, like, a six-page document, and it made it into, like, a one-page summary. And I'm like, did I ask you to make a summary? And it's like, no, you did not. I'm like, okay, put all the text in it, and it made me another summary. Why did you do this? Like, and I know it's stupid to argue with the damn thing, but I'm literally sitting there arguing with it to see what it says about why it did it, and the explanations were just stupid. And it's like, I think you're right. Like, I think people don't understand what we're looking at right now is not even – I think artificial intelligence is a good word, but people don't mean what that actually means. Artificial is fake intelligence. That's what it is. It's not synthetic intelligence. And I think we're going to start moving more and more towards something that would be more like a synthetic intelligence than an artificial intelligence, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and hopefully this lasts a good long while, that it's not thinking on its own. It's always waiting for that initial input, right, to be able to do something incredible.
Yeah, and I want it to wait, but I also want it to, like, be more functional. And I think that's coming rather quickly.
You know? And that's really where ChatGPT is way ahead of everybody. It's creating this ecosystem of, like, features and apps within ChatGPT that it's, like, it's still not there. And they keep releasing something new, like, every week. But pretty soon, they're all going to work in unison with each other. And once that happens, that's where that convenience you were just pointing at is, like, all locks in, where it just does it, and it does it really well.
Yeah, yeah. What about, like, most people that listen to podcasts are self-directed learners, or they would not be listening to podcasts. Podcasts, you know, right now we do have the media shills that it's just another version of their TV bullshit or something. But most podcasts are designed to be incredibly informational. No matter what the subject is, there's some stupidity in it and all. But most of it is like, you know, I asked a kid one time, you know, what he was listening to. And he's like, oh, I'm listening to a podcast. I'm like, on what? He's like, astrophysics. Right? You're like, yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about. So I think we have an audience that are really into education and self-improvement. What are some of the tools and skills and tutoring that we can use with ChatGPT to learn more ourselves, no matter whether we're entrepreneurs or not?
Yeah, this is a super fascinating topic, because especially podcasts, right? They've exploded in the last 10 years, 5 years, really. And they're just getting more and more hyper-targeted in their topics, right? So whatever topic you can come up with, whatever, like, new phrase or term you come across, there's becoming a podcast for that. And it's only going to, you know, grow from here. So everything you possibly want to know, you're going to be able to find this research and content that's already down out there. And I've created this course on next level learning that I'm going to show you a quick process of how I go about learning a new topic that is going to blow your mind. Here is Perplexity. So Perplexity.
Well, you need to bring it back up. There we go. Yeah.
There we go.
And if you just leave that there instead of closing it down, I'll just bring it in and out of the window for you. Go ahead.
So ChatGPT is ahead of the game on everybody else, but Perplexity really came out strong because it focused on one thing: to help with searching. And and it's still pretty dominant in what it can do. ChatGPT, they've now added search into that, so they're kind of taking the best features and building it in, right, for that all-in-one ecosystem app that they're building. But still, Perplexity is the best at research. So I grabbed the, you know, Hugo culture topic, right? So I'm asking, perplexity. What is hygge culture? And this is a pretty powerful prompt that I learned from recently called do at least 10 different searches of different terms related to my query and find all about it. Now, before I hit go, there's a pro search feature that you get 3 free every day on the free plan. So okay. I'm going to turn this bad boy on. And as you can see down here, they just recently added reasoning models to this searching process. And R1, the DeepSeek model, just got added, hosted on a US server. So this stuff is like already being implemented here in the United States. Also, a really powerful tool on here is the focus ability. So it's going to search for give me the definitions of hygge culture and resources on it. And you can choose where you want it to search from text that you give it to it, just the web, academia, papers, videos, math, social media, which is great for public opinion, right? If you're vetting a product or something like that, you can just search social. So okay, very you. Powerful. And so I'm going to show you what this thing can do. Hit go. And because I kind of told it to go in hyperdrive, do at least 10 different searches. It's really like digging deep, right? So it just went and found 18 sources, 24 sources. This would have taken you probably about 45 minutes to, you know, do 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's now we're at 47, 51 sources. So yeah, this term is pretty crazy to really kick it into overdrive. But what it can do is go out, search everything, videos, blog posts, news sites, and grab all that information and be able to bring it back typically pretty fast. I'm actually surprised at how long it's taking. But once it does.
Looking at 66 fucking sources now.
Yeah. And so we're now able to, you know, get access to massive amounts of information. And then here it is its summary, right? It breaks it down and it shows you the sources in each section that it's drawing upon. So you can click on this and go over to it. Click here, show all. Here's the 80 sources it just gathered from all of that. So if you need to do citations or ready to dig deeper, then you got those things right, nice and handy. There's the basics, there's the benefits, there's the historical context. And then what really is amazing about this, I hit copy right here.
Yeah.
And I usually pop open a different document, paste it, and it has all the sources that it just dragged from right then and there. Okay.
So it has all the data, but it also annotates all the sources that all the data was gathered from.
Yes.
All right.
So super powerful for citing. Now I'm going to say, what are the best books on this? Pro for that. So now it's grabbing the best books out there, right? Raised bed, vegetables, gardening, step holster. And then I could say, what are the best videos on this? And it's going to go out, grab the best of YouTube.
Huh.
Are you in there, Jack? I know you've dropped some videos. All right. So once you gather this resource, this research, best books, if you own these books, that's great. If you own a PDF of this book, that's fantastic. We can use this. If you don't, there's a site called Oceans of PDF. And you can put in this topic and it will pull up a huge library of books that you can then, you know, just happen to go over here and then slide down and then download a PDF of it. And we're going to be taking the resources of this and be going over to a Google product called Notebook LM. So once I'm able to download that, Notebook LM is a closed AI system. So you're able to add sources to it. And this thing is like super powerful. you can put 300 sources. So if you have 300 books, 300 things on this subject, you load it all up. You can grab Google Docs. So I just grabbed the Hugo Culture that I just copy and pasted right then and there. You can grab, drop those PDFs that I already did. You can go to websites, drop their whole websites if they allow it to be crawled. Or you can grab YouTube videos and it'll scrape up the content of all of that, right? So now we're dealing with a closed system. It's no longer going to be like going out on the internet and guessing on stuff. You give it solid data, solid information, solid foundational resources, and then you can then ask it questions. And I'm going to start off with some prompts I got from Blazing Zebra. If you like his stuff, check out his stuff on YouTube. But break down Hugo Culture into its essential subtopics and provide simple definitions for each subtopic. Right? I'm a big fan of the trivia method. So go out. Let's define what the grammar is. Right? Give me all of the topics and subtopics so that I can understand what it is that I'm getting into. And as you can see, this also shows its sources. And so it's only drawing from the approved sources that you uploaded. And so you can jump back in there for a deeper exploration on these topics. So there's the basic grammar, right? This one, a little bit bigger prompt that we do, but we're going to organize this basic information now. Basically tell it to break these topics into logical parts, foundational knowledge, core concepts, and advanced implications or actionable insights. So very quickly, you know, we've been sharing this screen for probably about 5 minutes now. I was able to go and gather raw, factual information, the best stuff that's out there on the internet, the best books that's out there, the best videos that's out there, what AI can summarize, and then breaking this information down into the core concepts and then into a framework that humans use to understand things. So once we have this, you can do a lot with it. And so I'm going to save this note. Now I have this ready to go. And then from here, I teach another course called Year-Round Content that you can then take this rich data of research and then turn it into courses, turn it into video ideas, social media prompts. In my course, I teach people how to do a 3-email series so you can start a newsletter and you can combine your anecdotal information, what you are, your experience with these things in real world, combine that with the best information that's out there and be able to produce something new.
I think it's really cool. And like one of the tools you gave us last time, I don't remember if it was Notebook or whatever, but it would let you do all that stuff and then make a podcast for you about it.
That's right here on the right-hand side, audio overview. So even for your own level of understanding, you can now customize and say, you know, I just want to be focusing on the carbon success.
Sequestration.
Thanks. I totally should have picked an easier word. I just want to focus on that and hit generate. And in about 2 minutes, it's going to take just from the source information that you put into this and create a back and forth conversational podcast, A, for you to like learn from. And then B, you know, it's good content too that other people might enjoy. There's study guides here. There's FAQs. There's all sorts of stuff you can now process with this data.
That's awesome. And is that Notebook that's doing that? I mean,
correct. Yeah. Notebook LM. It's free. It's like the first good thing that came out of Google in like, you know, 10 years.
So that one is free because I just had a question from David and I kind of took on the fly. He said, are these tools free? And most of them, so not all, I hate the word all, have a free and paid option, but this one is just free, period.
Yep. And everything I just showed you for Perplexity, they have a free free level. I just did that all on free. And then Notebook LM, it's free. So what you do with this, you know, is some more advanced stuff that would probably cost money.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, my experience has been AI tools that have a paid option, generally a couple things happen. One, you get whatever the most advanced version is. Sometimes you don't get that with the free version. you get more time. And I think one of the things people really don't understand is how much of a hard cost is on the back end of this. If you go to Google and you search hotel in Jacksonville, Florida, there's very little cost for Google to put an answer on your screen. When you ask it, please rate, you know, ask AI, please rate the top 20 hotels in Jacksonville, Florida for my specific needs and give it a list. When you hit go, you get that answer almost instantly, but there's a shitload of GPUs going brrr, and there is a huge energy cost to giving you that one answer. So then they'll throttle either your speed and or how much you can get. So like if you're on the free version of ChatGPT, it'll be like, you're done today. And if you have the paid version, you get more time. And if you have the corporate version, you get even more time. And what's his name? Dickhead from ChatGPT says that even on the paid features, they're losing money right now. Yep. So, you know,
yeah, they're doing the Amazon, you know, the Amazon game. So I'll just show you with that example, right? If you throw my screen back up, let's research a hotel in Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah.
And so ChatGPT now has these search features built into it, and it's actually way better than Google, right? You're going to be getting hit with massive amount of ads. Everything on Google is there because they have SEO optimized. They've played by the books. They've spent tons of money to show up on that first page. And so you're getting, you know, a very biased answers when you search with Google.
You're getting answers from some asshole like me that made sure their shit showed up first. That's what you're getting.
Right. Yeah. So ChatGPT, at least right now, there's no ads within it, especially when you're paying for it. And it's more unbiased information. So you can now come in here and check out what it is offering. And what you can't do on Google right now is, you know, say like I'm looking for a spa in the hotel, right? You can get really granular with what you're looking for. And so it will then, you know, find you outdoor patio seating. My wife, she doesn't like scents when she travels. So it can search the comments and reviews and be able to like find these really small data points to be able to get you really granular results.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think long-term, if the model is you pay for it, it's less likely to have ads inserted into it, which I think we would all be better off if that were the case. I remember when Google first started selling search listings, and it was actually in the beginning really difficult to know if you were looking at sponsored or not. And like people got pissed and they made it a lot more obvious that you were looking at somebody doing pay-per-click advertising. But you're right. Even on the SEO side where it's organic, there ain't nothing organic about it because somebody like me did some things to make sure that their shit showed up. And that's good for me in my business. And if you look for survival podcast, you'll find me. Or if you look for duck eggs in Fort Worth or Dallas, you'll find me. But it's not necessarily the best thing for the customer. And like when you're doing like a hotel search, that's really subjective. What's the best hotel in Jacksonville or, you know, Raleigh, North Carolina? Well, for who? Well, for me. Like this was a golf course. I don't give like flying shit about it. You couldn't find a thing that I care less about than a golf course. But, you know, my best friend may love golf and it might be the most important thing to them. So using AI to drill down into all the things that are important to you for any decision is much more efficient than going to Google or whatever the hell Microsoft calls their search tool now or Brave Search or DuckDuckGo or anything like that.
What you're looking at now is called the GigaBrain, and it's built off of Reddit. And okay. You know, love Reddit or hate it, it's got public opinion, right?
Yep.
That's what it's best at. And so I'm going to punch in best sunrise spot in Jacksonville, Florida. You can't really ask Google this because, A, you're going to be given a bunch of ads and people trying to locate on this. But I just want to know, what are the people doing, right? When I go traveling, what are the best spots that the people like? And so this searches Reddit and comes up with all the best opinions from everything that Reddit people have commented on. And it will tell you the source of the Reddit post that you can like hop into and be able to like, you know, read more about it, what everybody had to say.
And I think it's useful because even though Reddit is full of a bunch of dweebs, they probably do know things like what the best mouse is, right? Yeah. Like your political opinions are like you shove it up your ass. But like things like using a product, right? Like that's something that public opinion is very valuable for.
Yeah. So these things are starting to be built in. If you might have seen on Amazon, Amazon is now starting to like implement some of these like testimonials and reviews, summaries, you know, taking the best from what people have said about things. So you're going to see more of this, but GigaBrain is free for you get a couple searches a day, and that's all I ever use it for. One thing I want to talk about was about privacy. And when you are choosing to not pay for something and go with the free plan, it typically means they're using your data, and that's how they're like, you know, making money off of you. So ChatGPT is a perfect example of that. If you just go, it's how easy they've made it. If you just go to chat.com, they bought this URL for like $7 billion or something.
Some ridiculous amount of money. Yeah.
You can come here and anybody can interact with ChatGPT without signing up, which is valuable. Except, yeah, you have no control over this data. Everything you feed it, they are taking it and they're going to be using it to train their models and do whatever they want with it. So just know that when you are signing up for the paid plans, they typically come with ways to be able to like make things private. I can go here, come down to
kind of say what you're doing a little bit more because most of the people are going to get this audio only.
Well, in ChatGPT, if you go up to the settings, you can go and check out your data controls and you can come in and it says improve the model for everybody. You can turn that off. And that means that everything
screw
you do.
For everybody else.
Yeah. Trust OpenAI as far as you can throw them, but you turn this off and your data is not being used for that. And so it's a good way to be able to do this. And there's ways to like just do a temporary chat. So, you know, if I'm about to, you know, talk about my medical thing and just want a second opinion because I don't trust Western medicine, I could come in here and it says this won't appear in your history. They won't use it to make memories. They're not going to be used to train the models. Again, trust them as far as you can throw them. But this is the benefit of paying for things.
Well, and the benefit would also be if you say don't do it, it turns out they did do it. When there's a giant class action lawsuit, you'll get to be part of it. Right. You might get a $5 check or something.
Yeah, so I got to keep an eye on my subscription costs each month because I love to buy things and I can easily get out of control. But I'm a huge proponent of paying for stuff because you know that we're getting to a point, which might be a good topic to segue into, of the need for privacy. Before there's been so much of a data trail of our lives for the last 20 years that already, you know, ads can find you. They can get super hyper targeting ads on things you just talked about or just said in a text message. But the issue so far has been they didn't have enough processing power to be able to like crunch all the data that everybody's been trailing behind them. And that is what's changing now. Especially
it's funny to me to listen to somebody or read somebody talking about that they won't use AI because they're concerned about their privacy and they're on X or Facebook or something. And you're just like, bro.
Cambridge Analytica admitted there was like 4,000 data points 10 years ago on everybody.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter if you had a social media account or not. So understanding that we have a massive, we're bleeding data everywhere. I think the only way to be able to start protecting us is to like have a backup plan.
Yeah.
Using a secondary station, localized computer that protects your privacy. Above Phone has some great options, right? My buddy has My Privacy PC that I'm rocking back here, but having a separate station so I can come and use this computer, interact with the internet. And because you don't want to ghost the internet as either, because that's highly suspicious too.
Yeah.
If you have no record and you're walking around, it looks really bad. So you want to have feet in both worlds, but the ability to be able to have private communications, private finance ability, those are going to be more crucial than ever in the next like 3 years, because the prison cell, the digital prison cell is coming down upon all of us, and we have to have solutions, decentralized solutions to protect our privacy. Hasn't been that big of an issue so far, but our kids, I don't want my daughter to grow up in a prison, in a digital prison. So I'm already teaching and getting these things set up for her so that she has options, because that's what freedom's all about, is to be able to have choice.
You know, I'm wondering if, like, there's a forensic countermeasure waiting to happen there, because I remember when we're going way back here, doing a lot of SEO work and things like that. Some of the initial extensions that were available, like Firefox or any of those browsers based on that tech, would allow you to do things like open every link on a page, or just there was a bunch of cool shit we could do that we could automate. Like, whenever this page is open, do these five things. Like, you could have an AI operating on your system that runs like 20 searches a day for cat pictures, and like just flood the data that's being surveilled with a bunch of random bullshit. But at the same time, it's random bullshit that looks legitimate. Like, Jack wakes up every day at 7:30 and investigates cat pictures, right? Stuff like that. And then encrypt it all, right? So then they have to, like, spend all that energy brute forcing the encryption out of it to find out that it's a bunch of cats. It seems like that's what I'm saying. Like, long term, this could be a tool that's as much for them as it is for us if we learn how to use it right. I also like the idea long term of people beginning to run their own local devices, running their own code. Right now, there's some limits to that, but I think it's going to get, like, when blogs first came out, people were using shit like Blogspot or whatever. And then, you know, Google basically controlled everything. And then WordPress came. And then WordPress was smart enough to introduce plugins, and then self-hosted WordPress. And, like, so I literally don't care what WordPress does in the future. Like, if I have to stop updating it because they do some nefarious shit, I don't care. Like, my site runs on PHP and MySQL and WordPress, and it will work even if I'm using a 20 version back version of it. And so I think we're going to get into that with AI too, where, and then you train your model on the things that you care about, because there's a lot of shit I don't care about, and you don't either, right? Like, that's one of the ways to lower the cost of training in AI, is you are only going to worry about this shit, not like French literature or, you know, the history of Mesopotamia or something, if I don't care about that.
Yeah, local AIs is, I think, the future. NVIDIA just came out with a supercomputer, $3,000 they're shipping in like 2 months. $3,000, and is powerful enough to run OpenAI's ChatGPT locally. And so I think everybody's going to need to have their own stationary, like, offline AI system. And it's going to get really, if you can trust that and you can, you know, share sensitive information, it's going to get really personal in being able to know your preferences. And I think we can train it to help us defend against larger AI systems that are out there, larger manipulation tactics that are going to be happening. You know, malware and hacker attempts leveraging AI is going to get so sophisticated. Video, images, audio, none of that shit can be trusted. And so I think that's the only way we have to preserve freedom moving forward, is to, like, embrace our own localized AI
that you can trust because you told it what you wanted it to do. Because, like, right now, when I see a ridiculous video of a politician or something, my first, like, my wife will show me, like, but is it real? And so far, like, you know, nine and a half times out of 10, it is. But, and when it's not, you're like, oh, I can see that that's not real or whatever. But we're getting to where, like, the only reason you know it's AI is it's something so spectacularly ridiculous, like somebody, like, morphs into a lizard or something like that. It's getting harder and harder to know.
Yeah, and these models are being updated so quickly. If you switch to my screen, you'll see this is the latest model that is done by Pika. Pika is a video.
Okay.
So this is, like, where we're at this week. This is what, if you type in text, you can get video that looks like this in 1080p.
Oh, wow.
So this stuff is, like, freely available. As of, like, 3 years
ago,
I could
I could give it a prompt the way that I do an image prompt right now. Like, this is what I want. But instead of making an image, it makes a video.
That's right. So, you know, absolutely, you should not be trusting anything at face value that's online. Like, especially starting 2025, probably for the last 3 years, you should definitely be questioning if any of this stuff is like real.
Yeah. Like, then, I was telling you when we were getting ready, I was doing some work on my biochar course, and I was trying to get an image out of it. It was a timeline of human history with charcoal, and it kept giving me images that had like fucking cavemen driving a fucking charcoal powered moped with like black smoke. I'm like, or the one was like a bunch of Indians, and they were like clearly primitive Indians, not like current indigenous. And they're standing around like 55 gallon drums with fire coming out of us. Like, where did a Stone Age man get a steel drum? Like,
Jack's talking about DALL-E with ChatGPT, and they haven't updated their image generator. And so it's like, it's caveman by now. And there's lots of better models that are out there. I was working on this week's newsletter about Panopticon. And so this is a tool that I just came across last week. It's called ABACUS, Abacus.ai. But this is a all-in-one tool that is only $10 a month. But with this, you can choose what model you work across, like the best ones out there. Claude Sonnet, ChatGPT, the new reasoning models, DeepSeek is already on there, Gemini is Google, Grok. You can choose what model you want to work with. And down here, you can choose which image generation you want to work with. You see DALL-E down here.
Yeah.
But Flux One is hands down the best ones out there right now. So usually, like, this stuff is super difficult to try and figure out how to use these things before they have a nice wrapper on them.
Yeah.
And this tool is so handy for $10 a month that it, you know, you can literally, you know, ditch your other subscriptions, come and use this thing and get everything in here. I haven't ran into any limitations on how much you can use it each day. And it has just a ton of features in here. You can upload video and it can analyze video, helping you get scripts for that. But as you just saw, right, that was 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Not bad for a cat with a hat.
Yeah. Yeah. He's an orange cat. Orange cats are the best cats, I always say. That's really cool. Maybe like some other things that people might want to look at using AI for that it's not entrepreneurial, as we talked about last time, would be like comparing products. I think we talked about that a little bit, but maybe you can expand on, or options on major purchases, or even like financial planning.
Yeah. So if I want a new tech gadget, you can, you know, everybody typically runs to Amazon and
Good. He's back. Okay. So American Legend can be kind of whiny sometimes, but he's not a bad guy. And I accidentally banned him from the studio. So I wanted him to know I wasn't intentional, and he is back. So it must have been an accidental timeout, dude. Sorry about that. Anyway, go ahead, Josh.
Cool. So for researching products, you can basically, you know, go to Amazon. They're now summarizing the reviews on the bottom. So that's a good little helpful tool. Everybody goes to Amazon, but that GigaBrain, you know, when you want public opinion, which is great for product, is the best USB hub. Something I just had to get. So here's all the sources of the recommendations. And again, you come down here and there you can go and check out the actual conversations. It brings up the products that people are recommending, and then it shows you the sources. So you can come down and read what everybody's talking about. So I think hands down, this is like one of the best ways to, you know, see what the people think. Amazon reviews are nice, but still they're like getting super spammy and people are getting paid for good reviews. So it's difficult to like trust that stuff all the way. But this is just a quick way to be able to do that. I also have a tool called Vetted. Vetted is an app that it's getting better, but it asks you, what are you shopping for?
Okay. Right?
And so I'll say, best USB hub, and it then has a really handy dandy app feature. Sorry, my phone's dirty. But this is really good for grandma, right? She can download this app, and then it goes and researches what's the best on Amazon, what's the best on Google, what's the best, you know, what are people talking about when in the reviews of this. And it will then summarize all of its findings and then be able to bring up the results and be able to take you, like, the best places to even buy them.
Okay.
Right there.
Which is all the more reason that long-term we need to be looking at developing our own systems, because that is going to get infiltrated with paid placement and shit like that if it's not already.
Yeah, and I've seen the effects of AI, you know, in the e-com space of where all this kind of gibberish, like all the descriptions, they're just flooding you with keywords, right? But I was just trying to like buy a shirt and trying to find like a shirt made out of cotton. And like, okay. I couldn't even find it in all of the keywords in the description because they're just vomiting all over everything. And all this has thus far been done with ChatGPT like 3.5, because it's the cheapest model out there, and like all these, you know, all these e-com businesses.
What he's talking about is like a service using GPT as a service to embed the results. So they're using like an API to interface, and you don't necessarily know what the back-end tool is. You think it's Amazon's tool, or you think that it's, you know, some other, like, you know, shopping sites tool or something. And what they're really doing is they're purchasing the service and then presenting it to you.
Right. And then also flooding the products on Amazon, right? Because mm-hmm. they've done their research. And what I was trying to point out was, so far it's been pretty obvious when they mm-hmm. do this. But especially with DeepSeek coming out and the cost of high-level AI results now going to become commonplace, this stuff is going to get super sophisticated and hyper-targeted on all of us, and it's going to become almost untraceable.
Do you believe the Chinese about how cheap DeepSeek really is, or do you think the Chinese government printed a whole bunch of fiat and then – it's like a fake. DeepSeek is a deep fake. Said, you know, we spent X to build it, but they really spent X plus Y to build it. Because, you know, that's just like, these are the same people that 4 years ago showed us videos of guys protecting themselves by wearing paper suits, following people around who were dying in the street. So I don't exactly trust anything that comes out of China.
Yeah, for DeepSeek specifically, that, you know, the what was tossed around is that it only cost $5 million to train this model. And that's what shook the investors here in America, where they freaked out. And that's not really the case. It's just like the final training cost that they did at the very end. And it doesn't cover all of the work that they did and that they're piggybacking off of the models that were already out there. I heard that it just... that model got so good so fast because it was using ChatGPT to learn from. And so
it just
prompted so many times at ChatGPT asking it about what the world is, that it was able to shortcut and piggyback off of all of the investment it took for ChatGPT to get up to where that level.
So like when you're developing product sets in a business, going to phase 5 is a lot easier than going from phase 0 to phase 1. And if somebody else did the first 4 phases, then you're just going to phase 5 and you can access what they already did. And basically you can eliminate phase 1 through 4 and say, look, we got to phase 5 for 20% the cost of what they got to phase 5. Well, that's because you didn't do 80% of the fucking work. And that's what you're saying.
Right. Exactly. And what they release doesn't match where OpenAI is. It matches where they were 3 months ago, which is still pretty like impressive.
Okay.
OpenAI came out with their O1 model in like November. And so that's what DeepSeek just released, was like that level of reasoning, the chain of thought reasoning, and which means they're shortening the distance to where they're at. OpenAI is about to release O3. They're skipping over O2. And so I think they might release that this week or next at the latest. And so, again, they're going to jump ahead, but there are they already know the distance between their competition behind them is getting shorter and shorter. And so what they're building is that ecosystem, that app that kind of does it all, that is really difficult to replicate with other places. And they're just scooping up startups with good ideas and slapping it into their system like they do. So they're still going to be the industry leader, I think. And especially now that they have, you know, got buddy-buddy with the government.
Yeah, yeah. Before we dig more into some of the current news, let's talk a little bit more about what people can do for themselves with the tools that are already here. You know, we have a lot of people that are outdoors people. So like planning a hiking trip or planning a camping trip or, you know, I just did a show yesterday on cooking. I used AI a lot for that. It was like, it was my stuff, but I'm like, here's 15 sauces. Tell me, just give me a list of the base ingredients in them. Like, you know, and then that just made me able to produce that show faster and then give me some pairing ideas. And like some of them, I'm like, that's dog shit. And I changed it, but it just sped everything up. So I can see a lot of ways this can be used. Again, I was using it in the business, but it also could have been used to plan meals.
Yeah. If you want to share my screen again, next week, I'm going to go to Kauai with my family and do some business there. And so I'm starting to do some research now that the week is upon me. What are some activities I can do with the family? Now, like I said, I share a lot of information with ChatGPT, and I'm comfortable doing that. I like swinging out and taking that risk for everybody so I can teach others to use this stuff. Now, what I did was very simple, and I'm traveling to location. What are some activities that I can do with the family? Now, it has been taking memory little snapshots of my conversations with ChatGPT for the last, I'd say, like year. Yes. So it knows a lot about me and my preferences and, you know, a bit about my family. And so it's already like hyper curating what my preferences are, right? Meditation walk, boom. Sauna, cold plunge, love it, right? So it just very simply, I was able to just toss it a question and it's getting hyper targeted with what it can give me for my preferences.
Yeah, I'm looking at it and I'm just seeing better results than you usually get when you search for that on Google, and you get a whole bunch of shit that's basically the local chamber of commerce and people that paid to be
exactly.
In it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's usually what you get. Like, here's these 10 things to do, zip line, whatever. And it's always like the tourist trap shit. It's you might as well just go to your hotel and start pulling brochures out of a little stand in the front. This seems a lot more specific to what you would be interested in.
Which, you know, Jack, your audience knows this. Most things like that are designed to kill you. It's crappy food. It's tourism that is not a real, you know, depiction of the environment that you're exploring. It's these like money traps, right? Where they want you stuck there with no ability to get free water. You have to buy water. And so everything's designed to like prey upon you as a traveler. And that's not the type of experiences that I like to go with on my family. So having these personalized, you know, tour guide on my preferences, showing me, you know, what again, like I could ask it, what are the favorite spots of the locals, right? And is able to bring those things up.
Yeah, that's what I always want to know is where do people that live here go for, if I was going to Hawaii, where do they go for a Pokeball, right? Not poke that was on, you know, the Travel Channel that everybody goes to. I want to know, where does the person on their way home from work and like goes, I want this tonight and I'm going to take it home to my family. Where does that dude go that, you know, trims trees for a living or something? Like, that's the dude that knows where the real shit is, right? He's the one that knows, like, this is similar to what my grandma made and we don't have time to make it anymore. So I'm going to pick it up from somebody who's like, you see what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah. So hyper specified tourism. So again, I went back to GigaBrain because I want to know what the people say about this. You know, the people have read it. So again, I could ask for the best sunsets, sunrises, what's the best organic food, you know, gluten sensitive, my daughter has a peanut allergy, so I can just get super targeted and get actual information, not the garbage that Google is getting paid to give you.
Yeah. Yeah. What about,
let me tell you about diet. Yeah, so I had a client who is actually a friend of mine. She's a mom of three. She's got like a 6 month old right now. She's running a business. You know, the mom, she's juggling everything, and she's working on, you know, getting her mom body back. And so she wanted my help with setting up a custom GPT to help her figure out keto. Right. And so I was able to have a conversation with her and get what she's looking for. And then she took a course and like was working with a coach that she was paying, and they gave her a bunch of resources and material. And so I said, great, give me that stuff. And I was able to take those resources, the framework that the coach like specifically gave her, and then create a custom GPT so that she then has a companion to talk to. And she can then say, hey, this morning, you know, I had some bacon and, and some eggs. What would complement this to stay within my range for the rest of the day? Right. And it knew exactly like what her goals were, the frameworks that she wanted to work with, the diet that she wanted to work with, and be able to then give her, like she said, she's like, I can't believe it. It's like really good suggestions. And she doesn't have to then spend the brain power, you know, with the brain fog on a diet, trying to figure out what getting frustrated, kids yelling at her. It just says, eat this for lunch. You know, take a picture of what's in your fridge. I'll figure out what you can make with it. And so she said it's working amazingly, and she's going to fire the coach because she doesn't need him.
Yeah, I bet you there's a lot of coaches that this is what their back end is, right? This is what I would do. I would automate that shit, right? And like, I actually, and people are probably thinking right now, Jack hates those people. I don't, because it depends on what the person on the other end of the transaction wants. And some people don't want to do this, right? Like, I literally know people that pay their web person to update their website to the current version of WordPress. This is pushing a button. This is update site now. Do you understand you're updating your site? Yes. Done. Right. Not going to pay somebody to do that. I have a guy that will do it for me. And like, there are some times where there's like some kind of a critical update or something. I'm like, I'm scared, Tom, do it for me. But most of the time it says needs updated, click update. Right. This is a perfect example, because when WordPress started to evolve back in the early 2000s, I was like, oh, web designers are fucked. And you know who's fucked more than a designer? Because at least they have to make graphics and shit. Like web maintainers, like people that like do updates and stuff, like they're so fucked because no one's going to need them anymore. It's 2025. It's 20 years later. They're still paying somebody to do it. It's so, and you, here's the thing, and I think this is something people like us have to remain conscious of. If you do something every day for 10 years, you get really, really good at it. And I thought about for a while hiring like an assistant to do some things for me. And I'm like, I don't want to explain all this. So I started writing a manual of how to do all my shit work. And I'm like, holy crap. The crap that I do, right, in my sleep. Like I'm literally multitasking. I'm answering emails while I'm setting the show up. And I'm using two different hands. And it, to me, it's like a monkey could do this. I'm like, the level of shit that I do to produce a show, and every show is different. I was like, what if somebody did all my notes for me, and then, you know, I could just send them a thing and then say, like, form that just into my show notes. I'm like, every show is different. Like a guest show is a totally different way than an expert show, a totally different way than a flashback, a totally different way than a Just Jack show. Like all of it's different. And people will always be willing to pay for the human touch on the things that they don't want to do. Like that's, either they don't have the time, they don't want to, or they don't trust their skill set. And so even as we get this, there will be people that would prefer somebody else developing the information for them and maybe holding them accountable, right? But it would be cool because like you could be like, you could literally train an AI eventually to be like, it's 1 o'clock. Are you done with lunch yet? Did you go back to work yet? Are you taking care of that task you're supposed to do? Remember you said you hate this and you want to do what you hate first? It's 1305. Are you doing it? Like you can create that level of like encouragement if that's what you want to do.
And As a matter of fact, ChatGPT just came out with a solution for that. They if you want to show my screen, they just came out with a feature called TAS. And TAS is something that you can tell it to do reoccurring. And so I just tested one out. Send me new sci-fi trailers. And you can give it the instructions you want it to do. And it's going to go research what are the new blockbuster movie trailers that are out this week. And then you set it to a schedule. So every Monday, 9 a.m., is going to notify me and let me know, hey, here are the results of the new sci-fi trailers.
Okay.
It's still a little clunky, but you can see the capabilities of what it's doing. And especially combining this with the operator mode, to where it's able to just go out and do that thing for you, make that description, update the show notes, right? While you oversee like three operators going on in the background,
okay,
you can just be there and be like, yep, good, okay, great, done. And this is where these things are going to be commonplace, you know, by the end of the year.
I want to just pause for a second here and explain to people why this shit's important to me, like all this cutting edge stuff, and I'm the survival guy, right? And so, yes, I can make a fire out of five different things that don't involve a match, and I know how to do that. I can land nav with a map and a compass shooting an azimuth and back azimuth. I can do all that shit. I still want to know all this, and that is as much for lifestyle design as it is for my entrepreneurship. And there's a fundamental reality that ends up with a lot of people getting steamrolled by the competition. And that is that if somebody enters the podcast space in my niche today, all this shit, all of it, they're going to use all of it. So you end up as like, it's weird to say that a podcast is a legacy thing today. But TSP is a legacy podcast. It's, somebody asked earlier, how long have you been doing this? 16 and a half years. So I have all that momentum, all that listener base and everything. But if you don't keep growing, there's only one thing you can do when you stop growing. Declining, right? That's human life cycles work that way. We get to a certain point in our age, no matter how good we take care of ourselves, no matter how much we work out, no matter how much we do, we go into a biological decline. Your business doesn't have to go into a decline unless you want to let it. So if we don't, as entrepreneurs, stay up on all this stuff, the people that come in, especially in a tech, it's not going to be a tech business, a tech-enabled business. If you're in a tech-enabled business, your competition is going to use all of this. And if you are a solopreneur or something like me, you have a couple team members that are, they're not employees, though. They're just kind of like out-tasking individuals. Your competition is going to murder you, not pass you up, murder you, because they are going to be putting out a workload like they have a team of 40 people making $100,000 a piece, and you're going to be one person. And I don't care if you can do the work of three against 40, you lose. You lose every fucking time. So it is really important for people to understand that, like, even if you're like, I don't care about this, you know, there's a lot of people in life, they can get away with that. But if you are in a tech-enabled business and you ignore this, it is going to hurt you. And over the next 5 years, it will hurt you at like an accelerated, it'll hurt in 2025. It'll hurt a lot more in 2026. And if you wait till 2026 to start enabling yourself to it, you're way behind. I think if you're not using it right now, you're already behind. And you're only going to get more behind.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's one powerful thing that you got that AI systems don't have, and that's a human face and trust with your audience. And that is super valuable in this age that we're moving into, because all these faceless corporations and faceless brands are going to go ballistic now that they're leveraging AI to create content, to try and sell you stuff. And it's going to be even more intense and more competitive out there. But those of us that are willing to be courageous to step out into the limelight, like you have for the last 16 years, and be able to develop trust with your audience, people are going to be starving for that authenticity and that like human that they can trust, because these faceless corporations are going to be plentiful and be very hyper-targeted in what they are trying to sell you. But, oh, actually, I know, you know, Jack, he recommended this tool, so I'm going to trust him and go buy that, like using his affiliate link. And so I think there's going to be a huge gravitation towards content creators and those brave enough to like put themselves out there, leveraging all this AI tools, of course. But it's a huge leg up against these faceless corporations.
Yeah, especially as we get into things like simply increasing like production value and things like that. Like, I'm looking more and more at things like, okay, I want to train an AI in my voice, not to do my podcast, to read articles when I'm doing a current event show. Why should I sit here and read an article? And I'm actually really good at speaking. I that was one of my unfair advantages when I started podcasting. I spent about 15 years of my career standing in front of rooms with anywhere between 50 and 2,000 people doing keynote addresses and things like that, having to talk about absolutely the most boring shit in the world and not be boring, like, oh, I don't know, the effects of attenuation against near-end crosstalk on data cabling. There is nothing more boring. I made a living on it, and it was boring as fuck to me. So I learned how to do that. But I'm actually not great at reading a script. I sound like I'm reading a script. I would much rather have my conversational tone, voice, and inflection. And it would be kind of cool that when I'm doing a show, especially now that I'm all live, like it used to be, oh, I need to go take a piss or whatever, pause, and I could go do it, and then hit record again. You can't do that in a live stream, right? Or right now my coffee cup's empty. Damn it, I can't run off and do that, right? But if I had that ability, I'd know, like, this article's a 3.5-minute read, click, and just let that article be up there on the screen, and I can, you know, take a break. I can do whatever. And then, but the other side of it, it's not just for me. My audience would get a better experience because the AI Jack is going to read like the normal Jack speaks. And that's pretty cool. Now, there's some advancements to be made there. Andy McCann, I'm going to bring it up for you in just a second. Andy McCann, who's on the expert council, recently did a segment where he used AI to generate his answer. And I played it and nobody knew it. But I'll tell you why nobody knew it. Because when I pulled it in the timeline, the cadence was just a little too fast. And in Vegas, I stretched it out just enough to slow the cadence by about 0.1. And then it sounded exactly like him. So I think we're going to get more and more of that. I'm going to go ahead and bring this up for you now.
So this is where you're at. Yesterday, for the first time, I got tricked.
Okay.
I like this lady's channel. She's a big UBI fan, and okay. I like to argue with her content. So,
okay.
but check this out.
D20 said, 3 years will change everything, starting with some wild, almost unbelievable predictions I'm going to make about this
now,
very
said, this
year.
The first time
this
that
isn't
I've been
sci-fi
tricked.
Speculation. This is about what's
this
coming
right
in the next 36 months. And what I'm about
agent,
to share with you has
she
even
probably
the top
fed
AI
it
folks
about
free-
let's
4 hours
while you're talking or they can't hear both of you at the same time. Go ahead. I got her muted for you. You can just talk now.
Okay, so this gal, she probably gave it about 2-3 hours of video to create an avatar. And so this girl just posted some YouTube content using her avatar. And I was listening to it for about 2 minutes even before I realized that she is not real.
Okay. So this is a fake version of a real person. Are you trying to play her again?
Reads faster and vastly more expensive. This has been true in almost every adaption throughout history. That's why I predict the automation cliff to be so strong.
As you
I
can
think
see,
we will
like,
have the reduction of all office.
There's going to be a huge amount of AI content being created with avatars of podcasters. So she goes on to say, like, this is my avatar, and I wrote the script. I wrote everything about this, but while I'm busy researching new things coming up, this is my avatar. Then it has a simple B-roll on top of it. But it was the first time that I was listening to it, and I didn't realize that until she mentioned it.
So are you saying that had she not told you what she was doing, you would have never known?
Once I started like really looking at kind of the mouth line, I started seeing just a little bit of giveaways.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I was casually just listening, it could have slept by me.
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm going to be honest, most people don't do that when they're watching a video like this. Like, if you're watching some sensational shit, you might be like, yeah, I want to see if this is real. But if you're listening for informational purposes, honestly, 90% of the time when I'm listening to or watching a YouTube video, it's either in a dead tab, so I'm actually doing something else and I'm just listening. And if something, like they're referring to a chart or something, then I pull it up. Or it's on a separate screen. Like right now, the reason I'm looking over here, I'm watching you on a separate screen because I have it expanded where I can see all the detail, where if I expand it here, I can't see the chat, right? So usually most people doing this for information gathering aren't really focused, so you would never know. You would just not never know.
And I would say in 6 months, it will be undetectable.
Yeah, yeah. David's saying that. He says he listens to this chick, and he says, crazy, I would not have known casually. And he's asking if we're AI. No, we're live, and we're interacting with you right now. It's not that good yet. Where like we could see that and then like know to tell a joke about David and, you know, maybe pick on him because of something about his mom or something like that. We're not going to do that. But, like, that should prove right there that this is not AI, Jack.
I teach this in my courses, but you need to embrace your authenticity and, you know, your humanness of, you know, you don't do everything perfect. And like, those are going to be cues to your audience that, like, oh, I can trust this person. It's a human. And so I think we should really embrace these things and be like, you know, I'm not the best at this, but I'm going to try anyways. And people are going to gravitate towards you.
Yeah, I mean, you get like a whole certified human watermark or some shit, but that then they're just going to make an AI that puts it in there, right? Like, you have to do something beyond that, I think, for people to trust you. And I think that this is – every problem is an advantage when properly leveraged. And the people that are going to be able to in the future say, yes, I use AI. This is how I use it. But right now, this is me. Or, yeah, I used AI to write this sales copy, but everything in it I approve of. And the anecdotes and the personal stories in it are real, and I gave AI that. That person's going to have credibility where the nameless, faceless entity. So while this is going to enable people to just put out tons of fucking content for everything under the sun and be nameless and faceless, it's going to have a deteriorating effectiveness. And people that leverage it for authenticity just so that they can get more done faster, they're going to have an unfair advantage. And people that ignore it, they're going to get steamrolled by both, right? Like, if you're trying to do everything yourself at a point where your competitor can have effectively a six-man team for $30 a month, he's going to kill you. Like murder you dead, all the way dead in the ground and bury you and pee on top of the grave. Like, that's how dead you're going to be. And this is, in a lot of ways, this is like, for me, I feel like when I first started talking about Bitcoin, so much resistance. But all the resistance did was hurt the people who resisted. Like, you would just have been better off if you had just listened to the very low-risk approach that I outlined for that. And I feel like I'm doing it all over again with AI.
Yep. I'm a pretty, you know, huge AI enthusiast because I don't see another way. Like I said this last time, if we had another 10 years before AI came out, I think the human race would have really benefited of, you know, maturing a bit more. But here we are.
We are where we are. And it's when I had a guy on, it's like kind of over the top Chicken Little on, you know, dangers and aspects. I can't think of his last. Was it McGregor, the Colonel? And he was just told like boomer as hell, totally opposed to AI. And I'm like, you know, you can do that. But then all that means is all the people you're worried about are going to use it and you're not going to have it. Like, you basically, you could say the same thing about your M16 or M4, I'm dating myself, right? Your M4 carbine, but if you don't have it, then a dude with the AK is going to fucking kill you. Like, I don't even know how people don't get that that's the place we are right now. You need these tools. And like learning to do things like how to improve your cooking or generate music and stuff like that might seem like you're just playing with it, but why do kids outlearn us? Because they fucking play with everything. That's why. They're not afraid of shit. They just like kids and computers. I don't know if you heard about this. This was about, God, this is about the time I started the show. This is like 16 years ago. There was this guy that wanted to see how quick kids could learn. So they went into like remote areas of India and they set up a computer. Everything was in English, but it had an internet connection. And within weeks, these fucking kids were using the computer in English, even though their native language was Hindi. And within a couple months, the older kids were teaching the younger kids how to use the computer. And surprise, surprise, the adults were afraid of it. Like, this is like this pattern just keeps repeating over and over again. I guarantee you the first time somebody figured out how to make a friction fire, there were cavemen that wanted to ban fire because it was too dangerous. I guarantee you that. And if you didn't learn how to use fire, then your enemies burnt your fucking village down and you had no means of defense. Like that's where we're at right now with an emerging tech.
My daughter is about to turn 7 and I am blown away at how fast she naturally learns. Like, I can't keep enough like stuff in front of her to keep her challenged. And we're now entering into this age of AI that AI can be used for education. And I'm confident that she's never going to have the need for public school because, we're on the unschooling train. But she has all the knowledge she could possibly want, like at her fingertips. And we're starting to introduce tablet in like controlled measures. Yeah. She watches me play with ChatGPT and we can talk to it together. But you know, one of these days she's going to get access to be able to like use these things directly when she's ready. And it's going to be able to have unlimited patience, unlimited empathy, unlimited understanding, and give her exactly what she needs to guide her to learning these things herself. Yeah. And the education system is not going to be able to adapt fast enough. It's already, it's already garbage. But
I read something, Josh, a couple, three weeks ago of an experiment that was done where they compared a custom developed AI education program against conventional schooling, and the AI was able to get students to the same level of proficiency in 60 days as conventional schooling did in 2 years. Yes. Okay, that's not like most scientific studies are like, it improved efficiency by 13.31% or something. That's off the charts. That's day and night. That's your kid is still learning ABC and your neighbor's kid is fucking designing airplanes. That's what that is.
And they're probably going to sacrifice all the kids that are in school right now, right? Are on the conveyor belt and be like, sorry, we'll try and get ahead of it in the next 12 years. So meanwhile, you know, all the homeschooling kids, and hopefully, you know, this administration makes good with its promise of $10,000 a year for homeschooling parents.
Yeah, I'm going to have to ask ChatGPT how to swing that shit because we pay for everything, but they're my son's kids. Like, we got to figure out some way to make this work. And their income is so boring in the way that it comes in, it won't help them much because they're not going to itemize. I don't know how we're going to swing this. We got to figure this out somehow.
Yeah, but we hope to just keep unschooling and her parents are going to
deduction. I mean the deduction for what we pay like for a stomach and all that. Like how do I get the deduction because they're not my dependents? You know, maybe there'll be a carve out. There's probably that's a question for ChatGPT and my CPA, right? That's what that question's for. That'd be interesting. Get my CPA to start using ChatGPT.
I've been training some,
Yeah, I need to do that.
A good practical use. I just, you know, it's end of the year, so I just went and grabbed all my personal transactions statements from my bank account and plugged them all into ChatGPT, had it create a spreadsheet with plausible business expenses out of my personal. And so it took a little finagling, but in probably about an hour and a half, I was able to go through all 12 months, all personal, and come up with categories and subcategories and then be able to like help me justify, right, business expenses through that process.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of times, what do you call it? Right? If you call it the wrong thing, you're fucked in an audit. But if you call it the right thing, you're not. And that's one of the best things about my CPA is I've been able to ask her, what do I call this? Man, I need to team her up with that. Let her superpowers and their superpowers work together.
Yeah, I showed that to a local account. She was a bookkeeper, and she's like, for a split second, she's like, is my job at jeopardy? And then second one was like, no, I can like use this to like really streamline my service because people don't want to like trust this stuff to AI, not anytime soon. But she can make an hour long task into 7 minutes.
Exactly. What I'm saying is, If you're filling out a 1040 EZ or a 1040 A, you probably can already use like TurboTax yourself and do it really easy. My taxes are complicated, right? And I don't even care if ChatGPT is right. I still want someone who's been doing this shit for 25 years, has defended people in audits, to at least sign off on it. Like back when I was in communications, which I was alluding to earlier, I had a certification called an RCDB. And it's kind of like an architect for data cabling. And some of the jobs we bid, even if they weren't my jobs that I bid or did the takeoffs on, I would have to sign off on them for the sales executive that did the takeoff because it was required that the final design be signed off by an RCDD. And there was good reason for that. It made sense. I mean, like, I did the calculations and made sure, like, all that cabling you stuck in the roof wasn't going to collapse the fucking floor above it, right? Things like that. I want my CPA, even if a lot of that's prepared by ChatGPT or some other, like, I could see, like, AI tax machine or something, like, that's specifically trained for the tax. Ooh, there, programmers, there's your place. Dump the whole tax code and train it just on this and find. Oh, how about health insurance? You can almost always get health insurance to pay for anything if you file the right form the right way, use the right word with the right frequency. What is that? I bet you we can build an AI that'll do that. And they'll build an AI that'll figure out how to reject you. But like whoever builds the first one wins is the way that's going to work.
Yep. Well, hopefully with AI and with the IRS agents being sent down to the border to fight the cartel, we're going to get a whole lot more breathing room as business owners.
Yeah. So, yeah. There's a joke in there that I won't say. I'm just going to say that they're going to send bean counters to the border. And I'm not going to say it. But anyway, we've had a lot of questions ongoing in the chat here about privacy. In your notes, I see that not only are there ways to use things a little bit more privately, but maybe you can actually enhance your privacy in other things using AI. How would that work?
Yeah, so like I said, we need to have feet in both worlds, right? We need to be able to keep up our Google, you know, online presence, because you don't want to ghost that because it's going to give you a bad social credit score because that stuff is here.
Yeah.
But what we want to do is secure our methods of private communications and private finances. So that we can start the habitual journey of figuring out how that stuff works. This week I tossed out in my newsletter, decentralized tech, and just told everybody download Brave. Like that's the baby step to start using Brave and because it will help with a lot of the tracking that's going on. There's bigger issues at play if you're on PC, if you're on Apple. They have backdoors built into the hardware, and that's where, like, the above phone comes in, right? So, like, all you need to do is just start taking baby steps heading into the direction of privacy. Once we are able to have these, localized, decentralized PCs or a separate computer station, teaming that up with the localized AI – and within 2 years, it's going to be able to help us defend against malicious, you know, attacks. And it's going to really be there to help us out a lot. And so creating that separation of your online persona where, you know, I do my Bitcoin and crypto trading on my privacy PC. I do, you know, my social media posts on my public PC. And just
because I'm not worried about being private with my social media that is inherently public. There is some things where people get overreactionary. Like I remember that when I was doing web work and I was working with this one company, they didn't want me to have access to FTP. They wanted to have the stuff that needed to be FTP'd because you can intercept FTP packets. I'm like, intercept the packets of the data that I'm publishing publicly on the internet. And, you know, they don't. It takes a while for them to understand what they're saying. And they're like, oh, yeah. Oh, right. I see. I get it. All the data is public anyway. Like, yeah, all the data is public anyway. Like separation, I think, is a really good thing. And you and I are using public facing businesses and we're primarily developing content for that that is going to be public. My personality is public. My likes and dislikes. All this shit is already public. If I wasn't a personality, a lot of this data I would really not want out there.
Yeah, I agree. And there's a lot of benefits to being that public persona, right? You can make a business for yourself so you're not sacrificing your values for a paycheck. I think that's a worthwhile goal for me. In my lifetime, I don't think I'm going to be like 100% private and protected with my data. But my daughter, who's growing up, she's going to have these options and she's going to need them in the future in 20 years. So being able to like get these things started for ourselves, start developing the habits. It's about mindset and a habit to be able to start heading in the direction of having true privacy.
Yeah. Yeah. What about some ethical considerations and, you know, like transparency or becoming overly reliant so you can't actually do anything or sacrificing your creativity? Like, I think that we have to understand this as a tool. And like I said, you know, I remember fifth grade, every kid already had a Casio watch with a calculator on it that they made us put away. And they said we wouldn't have a calculator everywhere. I'm like, I would if you didn't take it away. But now we legitimately have a computer everywhere. But the teacher had a point. Like, you still need to learn your times tables, right? You still need to be able to understand how to formulate a formula. Like, all the time I'm doing business plans and projections and stuff, and I'm writing basic algebraic formulas in an Excel spreadsheet. Like, I don't ever want to lose that, and I don't want other people to lose that either.
Yeah, I think we need to be intentional with this and being responsible with AI. Like I said earlier, right, creating distance and bottlenecks in your environment so you're not, like, able to just whip your phone out and get an answer, but creating space to be able to sit and contemplate with these things. As far as transparency goes, I'm a huge decentralized advocate, and so the more decentralized can put pressure onto these major AI companies, the better it is for us as individuals, just like we saw with DeepSeek coming out this last week. People are already putting them on US servers and figuring out how they work to replicate them. And so I see a major problem with big tech AI with government taking place. And especially, like, we didn't get a chance to talk about the ChatGPT Gov that just got released yesterday, to where they're now supplying the United States government with private ChatGPT bots for their government employee uses, which is only going to cement their dominance in the whole space by, you know, butting up with government. And that's not good for us as individuals to be able to watch them grow powerful together. Who knows what the military has access to? In all this stuff, right? Like, we're getting the dumbed down, you know, commercial version here, watching the soaps on X, but who knows what the military already has access to. And then big government and big tech, you know, marrying together is not good. So we have to get these decentralized technologies out there and start the habit of using them.
Do you think that maybe some of our central planners are overestimating what they're going to be able to do with this as well? Like, I was listening to, I don't know if it was Vance or somebody else that was talking about, you know, all these illegals being deported and how we're not going to have food because there's going to be nobody to pick the lettuce or pick the almonds or the oranges. And, like, it's a stupid argument to begin with, because I remember whoever it was said, like, there's less than 1% of illegal immigrants in the United States work in agriculture, less than 1%. But there was the next drop was where I went, I'm not so sure about that, because it was like, and we're going to develop automation to the point where we're never going to have this conversation again anyway. So the idea is then some robot is going to pick the oranges or something. And, like, there are things that I think we are a lot more decades away from than they think we are years. And I think that can lead to maybe some real mistakes in central planning. That's one of the dangers of central planning. If it's decentralized planning and you're wrong, well, you fucked up your little piece, right? If it's central planning and you're wrong, you fucked up everything. And that's one of the big dangers there.
Yeah, we haven't seen the robots hit the warehouses just yet to their capability. But what I'm seeing on X is showing, you know, pretty promising for robots. And, you know, thinking people are going to have, you know, the upper class is going to have robots in their house doing the housework in 3 years is possible.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also like, whenever somebody says that to me, I'm like, yeah, well, Roombas have been around for 20 years and they still suck. Yeah. Right. They still suck. That said, they're good enough that I would own one if I didn't have these things called dogs that have decided if something moves around by itself, it must be killed. Right. Like, so they're okay, but they're still not really that great.
Dog-proof.
And I'm wondering, dog-proof, like AI to recognize the dog's coming and shuts down and plays possum, or I don't know, something.
Yeah. Well, one thing's for sure, like, we're in probably the most condensed time of change that we've ever seen. I'm kind of new to the party. I'm in my 40s, but like things are getting wilder and wilder week by week now. And last week was wild. This week's headlines seem to be topping last week's. And with AI and all this stuff coming to head with DeepSeek and the competition that's taking place, dropping the price of the cost of this stuff, it's going to be in everything. Everyone's going to be using it. And then things are going to change even more rapidly.
So you just made me think of something. I probably said this 100 times, and I think the first time I said it would have been about 2011. And that is that the decade of flux and development between the years 2020 and 2030 will be such that a person in 2030, like if you just took somebody from 2019 to 2030, they wouldn't even recognize what they're looking at, that it would be equivalent to what happened between, let's say, 1850 and 1930. An 80-year span condensed into a decade. And, you know, I was starting to doubt myself a little bit a couple of years into it. We had the COVID thing going on and all kinds of impediments. And, like, now I'm like, here it is. Here it is. Like, I think the next 5 years are going to have to make up for our first 2 years of stall, and it's going to happen. It's like what we're about to see happen. And I think it's going to be, for a lot of people, it's going to be a lot like raising your kids. You have 3 years with your kids, and then your grandma or whatever comes over and goes, oh my God, look at what they're doing. Look how their hair changed. Look at like the baby fat's gone and this little boy's turning into a man. And you don't really notice it the same way because you're there every day and this person was gone for 3 years. I think there's a lot of that's already happened. You don't realize how far we've come so fast because you were part of it.
Yeah, I'm like glued to this stuff every day, but I just went to a local AI meetup here in town and they haven't even talked to ChatGPT yet. Like I was blown away at the enthusiasts in my area haven't even like played with ChatGPT to extent. So I'm hyper aware that like I am an anomaly looking at this wave coming in.
And I wonder how much unification we're going to see, because right now we're very much in, even though they've built all these tools to be somewhat generalist, just from talking to you, if you want to do this thing, then these one or two tools are what you want to use. If you want to do this other thing, then you want to do this. And it makes me think of like when people ask me about like, well, I want a dual purpose chicken. Well, then you want something that's not exceptional at either, right? You want, you know, if you really want a meat chicken, then this is what you want. If you want an egg layer, then this is what you want. And there are things that do both, but neither will do as well. But I think with AI, we may get to a point where there's going to be some really specialized tools, but our generalization will get a lot better.
And especially bringing in those decentralized solutions, right? Like I want them to do one thing really good and be able to have my choice, on my privacy station back there. But then meanwhile, yeah, ChatGPT is just scooping up all the startups, scooping up all the ideas and stuffing it into their all-in-one platform, which is really cool. And you know, I think it's more important right now to learn these tools than it is to like be cautious about your data, because like we said earlier, your data is already strung out all over the internet already. And this is so powerful. Just learning how to use it is going to create a net positive.
Yeah. I mean, the things you would never want to share with anything would be things like if you have a code word in your family like that just nowhere at any time. They do a deep fake and you think your daughter's being held captive in Tijuana. You don't want that person to be able to also know your code word for this is really me, right? In fact, you might want them to know a code word that is an indicator that they got the wrong thing, right? Like you might make a fake code word up for something like that, right? And then that way, oh, okay, delete, right? Just, I don't care, kill her. Yeah, because you know it's not her. Because that shit's already going on where they'll take somebody's voice and they'll clone it and they'll make a phone call and it will interact. It will say they have me, whatever. And so there's going to be certain things you never want. Your seed phrase for Bitcoin should never be digitized, ever. Please don't do that. Don't take a picture of it. That would be really, especially a cell phone picture of it. You guys know who you are. You emailed me about it. Don't do that. Delete it. Change it. Make a new one. Get a new wallet, please. What are some emerging AI tools or trends that could shape our personal productivity in the next 5 years?
Oh man, I can't see past 6 months with how fast things are changing. Okay. But if writing is your thing, if you make money writing or you're trying to build a brand with writing, Claude is still the best one out there right now. Just really being able to take your voice from previous work and mimic that and make it sound human. ChatGPT is like throwing in new features every day, every week, it seems like. So I definitely would recommend playing with that and seeing the practical uses in your life. One thing I didn't mention earlier was I had a client call me because she was about to launch a new a course. She was in the middle of launching, and she accidentally went into her WordPress site and deleted the theme.
Ugh.
And all of her pages like died. And like she couldn't even like get in to upload the theme again. And so she called me freaking. And I literally opened up ChatGPT, started taking screenshots. It guided me to cPanel, which normally I don't touch. But it showed me where in the file to go to delete a certain section to be able to like fix it. And I fixed it in probably about 20 minutes. And that right there like gives us a ton of capabilities of what we can do and like unstuck ourselves in common situations.
So I know exactly how you fixed it. And yet what I'm thinking is when I had to do that, I freaked out for about a day.
Yeah.
Right. So I could have shortcut my misery to 20 minutes. Like that's
right.
It's like, I've seen this before, but that's one of the things that these tools are really good at is the thing you haven't seen before. That's the value of experience. Yeah. And like, that's why I know what you did. Cause I know how to fix that. Cause I did it. Like 20 years ago, and it's probably a little bit different, but it's probably pretty much the same.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And so my confidence is like through the roof. Like there's literally nothing I can't figure out. And if I need some big guns, I typically have people I can reach out to if I need some bigger expertise on something.
So like my biggest hack with learning has been telling ChatGPT or another AI, I'd like to discuss this subject from this angle, and I want you to act as a Socrat, which is using the Socratic method, where basically it will argue with you politely and in a way that's designed to help you learn. And it doesn't, and you're like, it doesn't matter what, and people don't ask about bias and all, like, it doesn't matter which side of the issue you take, it will do an effective job on the other side of the issue. It will say, well, you know, well, you say, like, well, everybody knows that. Well, what do you mean by everybody? Like that will be its first response to you. Like you just made a ridiculous statement, so I'm going to call your bullshit on it, you know? And it's frustrating as hell, but man, does it make you pick apart. Like I always say, like if you are informed on an issue, you could go in an organized debate and do well, not necessarily win, because there could be a wrong side to the debate where you could never win against an intelligent person taking the other side, but you should be able to do a reasonable job of debating that issue in either podium. And if you can't do that, then you do not understand. I don't care how much you know about your side of the issue. You do not understand the entirety of the issue if you can't articulate the other side's view. ChatGPT will make you fucking do that. And you can be like, okay, I get it now. This thing is fucking biased. Because it is biased in some shit, right? And yeah. Like this is biased. Well, fuck that. We're gonna, and you just say switch sides. And then 5 minutes later, you're like, oh! And I think there's a real value to that. Like that was one of the most amazing things I learned about it years ago that I could do that.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be using that prompt next week for my 28-day ChatGPT challenge. Okay. We're going to be leading a group through a signal through the signal platform. I'm going to send a text to everybody every morning, and all you need to do is copy and paste and see what it can do. And the Socratic method is going to be one of those that I start off with just because it asks you questions instead of you asking it questions.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, well, what do you mean by that? Like that was like, what? Well, that's one of my bullshit techniques. Like, why are you doing this to me? Right. Cause I go to my grandson all the time. Well, he'll say something. I'll say, well, what do you mean by that? And what do you mean by this word in that sentence? Like, and you're like, well, now I'm on my heels. I don't really appreciate this, but it's a great, like when we train our mind, we should train the way we train our muscles. If you're not pushing enough weight to reach muscle failure in like a certain number of reps, you're not really gaining from the training. So if you want to train your mind, you have to push your mind against an equal mind or a superior mind, at least in certain ways that we would judge that metric. You mentioned your AI challenge. You want to tell people about that?
Sure thing. So I wanted to figure out what is the easiest way that people could start learning these tools, right? They probably, if you haven't already, like this, it's time to get on the bus. So coming up with a 28-day challenge allows you to just sit back and get sent a prompt every day of the week, copy, paste, right? I wanted grandma to even learn how to do this. Copy, right. Paste into ChatGPT and then interact with it. See what it could do. 10 minutes every morning. That's all you got to do to develop these habits and be able to start learning the practical uses in your life, because that is where you're going to be able to start recognizing, oh, maybe I can do this. Maybe I can do this with it. Instead of going to Google and trying to get answers from that, go to ChatGPT. Check out some ad-free, you know, feedback. If you want a recipe for something you're cooking, if you go to Google, you got to go to these SEO hyper-tailored blog posts that have 15 ads in them all over the place just to get to the recipe at the very bottom of, like, how much of flour you're supposed to add.
Oh, I hate those. So the other day I was sitting around remembering my grandmother used to make XYZ meal, and I thought I wanted that too. But then I remembered about when I went to Thailand. Like, that's how that shit's written. And you're like, I just want to know how to make keto fucking Alfredo. Like, that's all I want. And at least some of them have now added a button that says jump to recipe.
Yeah, but you've, like, already been hit. You've already been hit by Google with ads just to get there. And so now and you're being tracked through that whole process. You're going to get some ads too. On your social media. So how about you just go to ChatGPT, ask for it, and it will just give you the exact recipe to be able to get cooking. I use that in the kitchen all the time. We have specialized, you know, diet restrictions, gluten-free, seed oil-free, you know, peanut-free, and it's able to just cater to my family's needs immediately and give me what I want. So this 28-day challenge.
Or you can drop a recipe in and say, give me a substitute for the two things on here I can't eat.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right. And so this 28-day challenge is supposed to be, you know, idiot-proof, and you just copy what I send every morning and paste it, and then there's a group, accountability buddies, and you can share your results in the Signal chat. So it should be really fun. I got some really fun prompts set up, like, if you want to break out of the matrix, what would you do? Tell AI to say that.
Is this – oh, that's awesome. Are people just going to go to joshuahale.io to fill out a form for that or something? Like, how do you say, because I imagine it's an email list. Like, how do people get on that prompt list?
Yeah. So if you go to joshuahale.io, if you want to share my screen, I can show people. And up there in courses at the top, that's where I have all my courses that I've built to help people learn this stuff fast. You'll be able to see the 28-day challenge right there. Sign me up. There is a cost to it because I only want people that want to be there and are going to invest in themselves. But if you use Spearco as the coupon code, you'll get 15% off. And it's going to be starting on Monday. It's going to be a lot of fun. And along with that, you get my fast track to ChatGPT course that goes through all the new features that ChatGPT just released. So you sign up today, you get to watch a, you know, half hour of introduction to ChatGPT, and then just sit back, get ready for some fun prompting, because we're going to have I'm going to blow your mind. You're going to realize, A, how easy this is, but then also how applicable in your life that this can be to really level up all areas.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to take your 28-day challenge. I think everybody should do that. That'd be a great idea. I think you'll learn a lot. And I have a totally off the cuff question for you. What is the platform that you are using to deliver your coursework? Like, I'm using LearnDash. I know a lot of people use Kajabi. Like, what are you using as the foundation for your courses?
Yeah, I'm a big Kajabi fan. Okay. I've been helping people build on that platform for a long time. And, you know, with going with Salesforce and all these other things, to be able to combine your marketing, everything into one platform, it really pays for itself. And it's never been easier to make courses with AI. So, you know, it's a great way to be able to capture that knowledge, put it in an easy digestible form for people to go through. And, you know, a lot of this stuff, like the year-round content roadmap that I'm doing, it just goes back. It shows you step by step. So you just play along with the year-round content roadmap, pause it, do it on the side, play, do it, copy all the prompts. I've done all the work for you. In an hour, you can figure out how to do that research that we did at the beginning and turn it into content for the year that is progressively logical for the audience to learn whatever topic or subject you're learning. You get to sound like an expert. You get to couple it with your own experience and your own anecdotes, and then have endless content for the rest of the year without the guesswork. So
awesome.
First step to do that is, take the challenge. And by March 1st, people are going to be coming to you for advice on AI.
There you go. All right, let's take some questions and then we'll wrap up. Questions and comments. I don't understand this. I don't even know why I started, but because it's Carson and I know him. He said, I'm late, but I'm here to ready to learn about how to use AI for my animals. I guess, you know, you could like learn a lot about chicken care, duck care, cow care, stuff like that or whatever. But I don't know if you got anything on that. I don't know, man.
Well, cats, they don't listen, so it's not worth using AI on cats. But, any of the farm work, anything going on your property, like it's a quick way to just get fast answers and then be able to, like, figure out what you don't know to then be able to, you know, research further.
We did talk about some privacy options, but there's a lot of scuttlebutt about that. So Jeff said, how do you use AI without it collecting data on you like Siri?
Well, you pay for it, for one, or you figure out how to use these decentralized AI tools. And just this, like, NVIDIA is coming out with their new computers that are they were like $18,000 each. Now they're $3,000. So by the end of the year, we're going to be able to have our own powerful computers that can run this stuff locally. And that's where the real data protection comes in. So right now, it's just more important to learn how to use this stuff, how it's applicable in your life, and then the privacy is going to be coming.
That is going to be the case on the power of the machines. Like the gaming computer that I do my video editing on over here, if you could have bought it 15 years ago, it would have cost $50,000. It cost me $1,100. Right. And I didn't even, if I self-build it, I could even drive that down. But when I looked at it and I'm like, I get all that for like this order, right? Like, That is coming. We will get into that space. There's just basically a law of processing power, you know, that works on that. MT Knives said, I just tried to polish an email I was writing and AI said it couldn't help. I wonder if it's already filtering out weapons manufacturers. So that's Patrick. He makes knives and it wouldn't do that. I bet you there's a way to get it to do it.
Yeah, I would try different models. They all have their own different guardrails. I was just helping a coach who helps with premature ejaculation and helping men out with that. And I could not use any of my tools to help him out because of the subject matter. So this is really where those decentralized AI systems come out. And, you know, you can find DeepSeek that's out there already. Guardrails. Just, you can't ask DeepSeek about the...
He went dark on us. We lost him. Josh, if you can hear me, I'm gonna kick you out. No, there you are. You're back. All right. Okay.
All right. Great.
Go ahead.
Well, the decentralized AI systems is really like where we're gonna be able to talk about anything, especially when we get them on their own models. But up until then, they all got guardrails.
So I just did a show, and one of the subjects in it was AI, and I was talking about the cancer stuff that I want to talk about a little bit with you, honestly. And I wanted an image that depicted AI for my thumbnail. And I said, I want an image that depicts AI being used for cancer research and mRNA vaccines. So it makes this image, which was fine, except that the thing in the center of the image was clearly the artist's depiction of what the COVID virus looks like. So I'm like, that's exactly what I do not want. So I said, do the image again for cancer research without the COVID virus representation in it. We cannot comply with this, right? Like, I can't do it because it was like anti-vax or something. I'm like, I'm not being anti-vax. I just don't want it to be about, I want it to be about cancer. And I finally got it to do it. And I had to like do like 10 different prompts before it would both make the image in a way that worked for me, and it would actually do it, and kind of saying, like, don't make it about COVID. Like, so there is some stupid shit like that where it just won't work. But I think that if you finesse it, you can almost always figure out how to get it to do it. Like, that one hack is like, I can't tell you how to do that, but if you did do it, how would you do it? And then it just tells you how to do it. You know, I don't know. Change the word knife, Patrick, to something like, I don't know, tool. And then just change it again. Like, that would be one way that I would come at that. David says, how does Jevons Paradox apply to the recent development by DeepSeek? Jevons Paradox is the idea that as you drive the cost down of something, you think it'll be more available, but as more and more people use it because the cost comes down, it's not so available.
Well, and I heard that was the argument for the need for the AI infrastructure, despite with the cost coming down, is because there's going to be more adoption and more use of it.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's something that will just play out over time. I think the other side of this is the money invested in this is really going to go to energy. Like, it's going to get cheaper and cheaper to make more and more AI, but more and more AI is going to draw more and more energy. And Bitcoin mining is going to look like a mouse fart compared to all those GPUs spinning around to put this out. And I also wonder, like, so when crypto mining took off, it went from, like, you could mine Bitcoin with a fucking cheap laptop to then you needed better processors, then you needed GPUs, and now GPU, forget it. You're not getting anywhere with GPUs. We use ASICs. I kind of feel like eventually we're going to have, like, a custom-designed machine only for AI. Because right now, NVIDIA is blowing up because everybody's using GPUs. Like, will there be, like, something equivalent to an ASIC at some point for AI? I think there will be, and it'll probably be a freaking energy sucking vampire.
Once AI starts developing stuff, we're going to start seeing innovation. I saw an AI designed rocket engine has been successfully test fired.
Wow.
These things are about to come online.
Wow, that's interesting. Successfully test fired an engine developed by AI. I do think we are in an interesting place. We're going to have to shit or get off the pot with energy production, because I don't think it can be done the way we are right now. And I'm not just talking about solar and wind. I'm talking, like, even if you start making more nat gas, like, we're going to have to go nuclear. Like, if you want to do all this, we're going to need nuclear. Aside from what these people are asking, I think all this shit Trump announced with these trillions of dollars of investments and all, where these AI guys are saying they're going to make a cancer vaccine out of where the AI is going to look at a blood test and it's going to formulate your vaccine, and then you're going to get the cancer vaccine for the cancer, by the way, that you have. This is not to prevent cancer, it's to treat cancer, which is what mRNA was supposed to do in the first place. I think it's bullshit. And I'll tell you what, I'm pretty good at pattern recognition. I don't know if you ever watched the miniseries called Inventing Anna, and it was about this chick. She's in prison right now. She was dropped out of college, created this company, and they were going to make a machine. You could take one blood test and basically get the results. Normally, they take like 100 blood tests, and they're going to put this one drop of blood in there, and it would tell you that it never worked. It was never going to work. It was all vaporware. She was so successful. She was like on the cover of Fortune magazine. And now she's in prison for fraud. And this reeks of the same pattern. We're going to have this machine, and you stick one drop of blood in it, and it's going to make a cancer vaccine. Like, I think that a lot of times when these people are trying to attract investment money, et cetera, they will make outlandish bullshit claims. And I'm not saying we won't ever be able to do that, but I think the idea that, like, they're going to be doing that 5 years from now is bull.
Yeah, I can't. It's like I said, I can't see what's beyond 6 months from now.
Yeah, yeah. David says, what are the differences between Grok, OpenAI, Perplexity?
Well, what Grok really has going for it is its own data set. Because Elon Musk bought Twitter, they now have, like, where the town square is being talked in. And so that's a huge data harvesting spot. OpenAI, they don't have any data. They've already trained off the whole internet. They got cock blocked from, you know, YouTube. And so they are just dealing with what, you know, data they were originally had access to.
Okay.
So I think that this is where Musk is really going to get ahead with the AI development because of that rich, juicy current event data.
Yeah, he has the most real human diversity of opinion over time. I guess Zuckercock has it too with Facebook and the AI tools they're developing. They may actually have more data to work with because people put more long content on Facebook. The difference would be though, tell me how many Gen Xers and millennials use Facebook. And it's probably not as many as you think. Like, it's boomer central over at Facebook, where X seems to have a broader cross-section of demographic cohorts to work from, I guess.
And AI is just getting to the point where we can start crunching video. And so if Musk is able to acquire TikTok and be able to, like, stick it into X, that's going to be, the data mining central.
And my summation on that is if Musk does not acquire TikTok, like XTalk will be like a next year project. They will make some clone of that, and then maybe he'll poke Orange Man back into the band. Who knows? What's going to be interesting is like as we build out these alternative social networks like Nostr, right? Then you get completely uncensored, totally open data that somebody could build a tool that's not held captive to harvest that type of, kind of like they did with Reddit, one of those tools you showed us earlier. I'm your Huckleberry says, I have heard bias is baked into most LLMs. How do you overcome that when trying to use it for research? You answer this yourself, Josh, but I would say one of the things about that bias is it's really there and it's really obvious when it's there. So at least you know you're looking at it, but it's not everywhere. It's on these hot button issues. So unless you're spending a lot of time worried about like the ethics of Donald Trump or the legitimacy of climate change, in most instances, it doesn't really seem to be that big of a deal. It's not that it's okay. It's that it doesn't get in your way.
Right. And I'm not searching, you know, conspiracy theories with my ChatGPT. That's not its job. But when I have my decentralized AI system, it better bet, you know, I'm going to be going there first to validate things. And best thing I found so far is that I agree with you. Like I'm running into those guardrails less and less. And hopefully with the new political climate, you know, that becomes less of an issue.
Yeah.
But for hot topic subjects, the Notebook LM, I've never seen it like flag anything. So if you go out and gather the components of what you're researching and then go into that closed system, you can process all that information, I think, without all the guardrails.
So then if I was doing stuff that I was making content about climate change toward the, they're all lying like they are, then what I could do is I could go out and get books that actually are on the topic from that angle, drop that in, and then use that to generate my content and to get answers.
And I've convinced ChatGPT by bringing up current event news and be like, well, if this is the case, is that true?
Yeah.
It will admit that it's wrong, but it's still a pain in the butt when you're trying to, you know, research and get things done.
The thing that you can do to get it to give you an analysis of a situation is change the words, change the facts. Give it the same pattern, change the names, but don't change the behavior, the outcomes, or what have you. And then say, now, what do you think is happening? And you'll be surprised at how accurate it will be at saying this is what's really going on, and then change those words back and read it. You know, I mean, like, I think there, again, it's a tool. And I always kind of liken it to, like, you go to the state fair, and there's a student, he's got this tool, and it cuts tile. Right. And he's sitting there making S curves and snap, and the tiles are perfect. And when you go home and use it, it doesn't fucking work like that. But it does. It's just that dude is always using that tool. He's doing 100 state fairs a year and he knows how to use it really, really well. And so the more you learn how to use it, the more you'll be able to get around bias and things like that. Tiger Lily says, what's the best AI for legal research or for lawsuits? And I didn't get an answer because I asked, like, do you mean like, because you are filing it or you're analyzing it. So I really don't know how she's coming at that.
I have a local friend who's looking to create some lawsuits to stick it to the man. So okay. I'm going to be helping her out and seeing where the limitations are, but I've already tried it out with some simple business legal paperwork where I went and got templates of what I needed out there on the internet, brought it to ChatGPT, told it to ask me questions of what needed to be on there.
Yeah.
And I answered all the questions. It had a template and it created the document for me. And then I took it to Legal Shield, a service that I use. And I was like, hey, is there any risk or did I do anything wrong with this? And they're like, it's pretty good. And I'm like, okay, great. So I think you just need to start with the components of what it is that you're looking to do and go out, find samples of other winning strategies and be able to just build it all together to create a lawsuit.
Jeff says, stupid question, and it isn't, because we actually kind of alluded to this actually becoming a thing. Can you get an AI that works just for you and protects you from other AIs? I think we're going to be able to build things, like you're saying, just like that.
Later this year. Yeah.
Yeah, later this year. That it's like we don't quite have that yet, but again, pattern recognition, you can see all the pieces coming together that, there will be a Jack Spirko, Jackistan AI that acts as a defender. It's going to be interesting over time if you look at the work of Jason Plowry with SoftWar and how Bitcoin may eventually be able to be used as a defensive tool for other data, and you combine that with AI. That could be very, very interesting. I'm not talking about giving AI access to your Bitcoin. I'm talking about using the Bitcoin blockchain in combination with AI to protect data. Like that's going to be really, really interesting to see that play out. I wonder why, this totally aside, like why his book disappeared from Amazon. It's still available on like public archive. It is a PDF and all, but it just went away. Maybe the people that originally approved it went, ooh, what did we do? let's unapprove. And the internet is forever. It's too late now. David says, what is your call to action? Okay, this was for me straight. What is your call to action for your audience for all this AI stuff? So there's two ways I can interpret that. One is, what do I want you to do with AI right now? I want you to learn how to use it as tailored best as possible for your life and your goals so that you don't get stormed and run over by people who do while you don't. That's what I want. Call to action also, though, for me as an entrepreneur, whenever I do anything, there's always a call to action, like what I want, like buy this, review this, whatever. And I will. That is actually one of the places I'll often have to fine tune if it's writing sales copy for me. No, Mike, that's not what I'm looking for in a call to action, and change that. You got any thoughts on that, either side of that?
Oh, man, I go through this daily. Some technique that I've just recently started to imply is you want your messaging to be about the audience and not about you, even though we love to talk about us and, our strategies and experience that we've all gathered. But when the person's reading your email, your message, they need to understand, like, why am I reading this and why is it applicable to me? So just shifting the focus to make sure that it's like you and audience centered can really make a big drastic change to what you're writing.
And I'm just making a correction here. I said inventing Anna in that story I told about a movie with the blood test and all. That is a different scam. That was a chick that claimed to be rich and shit in New York. Elizabeth Holmes was the former CEO of Theranos, a company she founded with the promise of revolutionary blood testing. And I can't think of the miniseries, but it's totally worth watching, and it's just a correction there. So anyway, you want to tell folks how they can learn more about what you do, take your courses and things like that?
Sure thing. Just go to joshuahale.io, joshuahale.io. And on there in the top right-hand corner, you'll see my courses. You'll see what I have to offer. I help people learn AI, how to leverage AI for their business strategy. I can be your wingman. I can help you week by week to learn and adapt these things. We can do a deep dive business strategy like I covered in my last episode, leveraging all this power to be able to give your business a leg up for the future. And then I got a ton of courses to make this stuff quick to learn. And with my 28-day challenge coming up on Monday, just 10 minutes a day, that's all you got to do, copy and paste, and you get to start seeing the capabilities of what ChatGPT can do. I make it super easy, so just sign up. And the first like four seats that jump in there get a pretty big discount. So hop on it.
Very, very cool. Well, thank you, man. And we'll definitely have you back again. Appreciate you being with us today.
Thanks, Jack.
All right, folks, real quick before I wrap up, I want to let you know about two things today. One is I've been talking about this on and off a little bit, but I want to really start pushing a little bit harder now because we're coming up on the timeline for it. I'm going to be present at a beef processing class at a place called Crunchy Mama Farms. And I realize I left the Y out of the title there. It's Crunchy Mama Farms. That's going to be March 21, 22, and 23. If you know the Fort Worth area where I live, it's about just about an hour north of me. Because of the way landscaping works out, it's also about an hour from DFW Airport, if you know where that is. It's going to be really cool. It's going to be 16 students and two cows, so eight students per cow. You're going to take part in the entire process from there's a cow to here's a bunch of meat, every single thing along the way. And when you're done with the class, not only will you now know how to do that, bring a cooler because you're going to leave with about 50 pounds of grass-fed beef from Crunchy Mama Farms. And this is going to fill up. There's only 18 spots. I know they sold quite a few of them already. So this is like now is the time to act. And if you sign up more than 30 days prior to the class, which we're about to hit that window, they'll give you an extra $100 off. So this is not inexpensive, but it's a three-day class. And it's going to be cool as shit because I'm going to be there. So you know it's going to be great. No, just kidding. No, I really will. I'll be there. I'm going to be acting as a co-instructor. I made a deal with the owners at our barter blanket this November, and they were like, let me come as a student, take me. I'm like, I don't want to do that. I want to help. So I'm not going to take anything. I'm going to bring an add-on and help. Chef Ken Daniels is going to be there too. He'll be adding adjunctive things to the meals. He'll be doing a tasting with some booze and walking you through it as a sommelier. It's going to be awesome. As cool as it would ever be to be at Crunchy Mama Farms for this, it will be even more cool because there will be other TSPers there. There will be me there. There will be Ken there. And we're just going to make it extra special. So come on out to that. It's totally worth doing. Meeting other really great people is always worth the price of admission alone. Next, though, today, you know, I've been kind of pushing the idea, again, timeline, tick-tock. It is coming. Spring is coming. And when we get to spring, that means that you need to be planting things if you are a gardener, if you're going to be the homesteader and all that stuff. Well, the easiest way that I've found in the past couple of years to build raised beds quick is with the galvanized raised beds that somebody like Vivor makes. Right now, they've got them on sale again, super inexpensive. You cannot build a raised bed out of pressure-treated wood for the cost of doing it with galvanized, which will last longer, and it's super simple to put together. I have the two-foot-deep ones that they sent me as samples. They're great. But I'm going to tell you, for most of you, you would be much better off with the one-foot-deep ones. They cost less, and your biggest expense is going to be filling them up. I want deep beds here because my soil is ass and non-existent. I have where my garden is, I have 4 inches of soil before it hits the rock. I literally need 2 feet to have something for the plants to grow in and to have a reserve and a battery. You probably don't have that. So if you want to put some raised beds in, I think they're like $64 right now for the 1 foot deep 4x8s. 4x8 in the mail, it comes in a box. It comes in panels. You bolt it together. It's super simple. There is no easier button for raised beds than these, and 4x8 is a very standard size that you know people use for gardens all the time. So I really recommend you check these out. Some of the other stuff that I've been putting out lately, like the grow lights for starting your plants, the 2-inch nursery pots, like the time to get all of that done, I'm this weekend. I'm starting plants this weekend. I've got all my space set up right behind the camera with my lights and my shelving and all that. It is time, and if you don't do it, you are going to wish you did, or you're going to be out paying $5, $6, $7 a plant buying Bonnies, which are junk, garbage, shit plants at Home Depot and Lowe's. That, you know, I've seen literally they're selling like three corn plants in a cup. I don't know what that's going to do for you for like $4.99. It's insane. If you do have to buy plants this year, there's no shame in it. I'm just going to suggest go find a local nursery or like a local feed store or something like that. Buy your plants there. We have a local feed store here called Russell Feeds. They sell plants for the same plants, actually better, but, you know, individual tomatoes, peppers, $1.99 versus $4.99. So if you don't start your own, do that, but definitely get your beds in. And with that, we've wrapped up another week of live streams. Tomorrow, expert counsel Q&A, that's audio only, Friday flashback, and we'll come back and we'll do it all over again.
They said you should have a house the American way. A dollar down, a dollar a month, and you never have to pay. There's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.